on Sunday shirt today. Do you think that's good? Yeah? Shirt with lots of palm fronds on it. There we go. I showed it to a friend of mine. He said, oh, if you like that, you'll like this one I've seen that's got lots of anemones on it. And I thought, well, you know, with fronds like these, who needs anemones? But tish. Didn't see that one coming, did you? Oh, dear. Right. Let's read, shall we? So we're in John chapter 17, and we started John 17 last week, and we're just continuing on this week. And on Friday, when we go to the hill fort, we will just briefly be thinking then about those last words Jesus speaks in John 17 as well. So starting at verse 9, Jesus, he's praying and he says, my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you've given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I'm departing from the world. They're staying in this world, but I'm coming to you. Holy Father, you've given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I've told them many things while I was with them in this world so they would be filled with my joy. I've given them your word, and the world hates them because they don't belong to this world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. Shall we just pray together? So, Father God, as ever, we thank you for your words. Thank you for the record that John has made for us of the life of Jesus, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, of the words of Jesus. And we pray then today that we would hear you, not just as we read text off a page, but as, Lord, you speak those words into our hearts, deep into who we are. And Lord, we pray as well this morning for Sunday school. I know Marlene prayed for that earlier, but Lord, we do thank you for our kids, and we thank you for those who teach them every week. Lord, there's so much that we want to communicate to them, so much that we want to tell them about. Lord, we long for them to be full of joy, of faith, of love. And so we pray as much for them as for ourselves, that this morning your Holy Spirit will move amongst us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title for this morning is Belonging to the Father. And it might have been that as we read that reading through, you picked up some of that language of belonging. So that's what we're going to explore this morning. I've got the wrong Bible passage up there. Don't worry, we are looking at 9 to 19. I thought I'd show you a picture. This is the guest house in West Bengal in India, where Helen and I spent about a month in 2006. Gee, that's a long time ago now. I've talked about this visit to India lots of times. I use it for lots of illustrations. Let me do so again this morning, just as I can. And so rather than repeat a story I've done before, I'll tell you something different. So our room, if you like, was up the top right-hand end The doorway kind of facing onto that balcony corridor bits at the front there, and there was a dining room lounge area directly underneath where we were. Anyway, so we arrived there. I think it was quite late one evening. We got off the train and we were driven through the town, and we got to bed and we just kind of put our stuff down and whatever. We'd had some food with us, which we hadn't finished all of. Anyway, so we went to bed and it's all very different. We're on this bed with, wasn't the best mattress in the world, should we say. And there was garden canes at the corners, and then stretched across these garden canes was the mosquito net and so on anyway. And the other thing is it's pitch black. There's no street lighting. It's pitch black. And an hour or so after we'd gone to bed, we got woken up by the sound of rustling underneath the bed. And you're in India. What's India famous for? Snakes! That's exactly what I thought. Snakes! We're like, oh no, is there a snake under the bed? It took ages to pluck the courage up to stick my head out of the bed, to look underneath the edge with a torch and see what was going on. We never did get to the bottom of it. There wasn't a snake. Eventually, after a couple of weeks, we noticed there were lizards in the bedroom, just the little ones about this small. But it must have sniffed out this half-eaten banana or whatever it was that was left in our bag. There was this terrible fright in the middle of the night. It was awful. Another time, we went downstairs for lunch, and foolishly, it turned out, left our, is that our window or the door? I can't remember which. Left one of them open. And after about 10 minutes, we heard this crash upstairs. Thought, that's a bit weird. Helen went up to investigate this time. And when she got up there, obviously I didn't see this, but when she got up there, there were monkeys in the bedroom. Swinging off the mosquito net stuff and whatever. I don't know what they'd come looking for, because we didn't have any food in there by that stage. But anyway, and it just, to be honest, it just makes you feel like you are far from home, because these things do not happen in my house. I don't get monkeys coming in through the windows, any rustling in food is likely to be the kids, if not me. But it makes you feel like you don't belong there. This is alien environment. This is not you. You don't belong. It strikes me that in our society at the moment, there is kind of a sense of lack of belonging. Our phones and emails and all of that, social media, it makes us more connected than we have ever been. You can know what's happening in somebody's life by catching up with them on social media without having to talk to them. It's just there. If they're a social media user, that is to say. You know, but we've got telephone lines. I can ring up my brother-in-law in New Zealand. He wouldn't be very pleased because it's the middle of the night over there. But I could do that, and I can speak to him face to face with hardly any delay whatsoever, just like I'm ringing you or speaking to you right now. We're more connected than we've ever been, and yet we also feel, I think, this sense of aloneness. Because what we've done is we've swapped like real relationships and really, you know, putting effort into getting along with people. Instead, we're experiencing broken relationships, broken families, you know, and so on. And so when I was a teenager, there was a band that I liked called Radiohead, and they had a song called Creep, and it said, I'm a creep, I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. And that was the lyrics, that was the chorus. Happy number, isn't it? But that sense of belonging is something which perhaps these days we miss. And maybe in that case, you know, people are longing to belong. What they want is a place where they're welcomed, where they're loved, where there are people who are consistently loving them and supporting them and if you like, being the family that they should have had on one level, being the friendships that they should have had. And so when I think about church and I think what church is about, you know, some of us like coming to church because actually it is a place where we find belonging. It's a place where we have community, where we have family. We talk about church family. I'm not ashamed to do that. The church is more than a place where we come to meet on a Sunday to sing the same song together at the same time, you know, isn't it? And that belonging then, that goes really deep, and that's why what we're looking at today. Last week, we talked about how Jesus prayed. Do you remember that? We talked about Jesus looking up as he prayed, looking, if you like, beyond this world and to God's glory, and praying on the basis of God's glory, that God is a glorious God and he loves his glory and he wants himself to be glorified. Well, this week we're looking at the who, really. Who did Jesus pray for? And our very first verse gives it to us straight, doesn't it? My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. Jesus is praying here for those who belong to him. Not because Jesus doesn't care about the world. We're told, aren't we, again in John chapter 3, famously, God loved the world so much. God loved the world, so he sent Jesus. But Jesus here is praying for those who belong to God. So what does it mean to belong to God? The first thing that came out to me when I was looking at this was this. It means being safe in God. Verse 11, Jesus says, this is a prayer, isn't it? This is what he is actually asking for, if you like. Holy Father, protect them. Holy Father, you give me your name, now protect them. Protect them. So belonging to the Father means being safe in God. And as I was kind of reflecting on this, it made me think about the times in the Bible when Lord Jesus himself speaks about shepherds. If I take your mind back to Christmas and the story of the Nativity, the shepherds are in the story of the Nativity, aren't they? What are they doing when the angel appears? Tending the sheep. So they're feeding the sheep? Or does it say something slightly different to that? They're protecting them, they're guarding them. So for me, when I looked at this, I thought, this is kind of shepherd type language. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. And this is shepherding kind of language that he's then applying to God. And so this is what he says about being safe in God. He talks about protect them. This is the same verse, verse 11. Protect them so they'll be united, just as we are. Literally, they will be one as we are one. That being safe in God means God bringing us together as one. Like that, really, with his arms around us. We are one. One in Jesus. We might say there's safety in numbers. Maybe we might say, well, you know, this is a case of that Jesus says, I don't want lost sheep. When you are safe in God, there are no lost sheep. We don't get lost because we're safe in God. And the extraordinary comparison that we should be one, we should be as one, as much as one. Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to work out the importance of my sentences then. We should be as much as one as the Father and Son are one. That closeness between God the Father and God the Son. Is that close? Is that loving? That's extraordinary. That Jesus prays this so that we would be as close to one another. We would be as much one as they are, as Father and Son. God God protecting us is him making us one and really drawing us into himself. Drawing us into that relationship of father and son. Why do we need to be protected? Well, Jesus says, this is down in verse 15, I think. Yeah. To keep them safe from the evil one. Keeping us safe from the evil one. You know, the flock a sheep is in danger when it's kind of isolated. Maybe it's a bit weak. It's on the fringe. Much easier to pick off than the strong one in the middle of the herd. And John 10, again, when Jesus is talking about himself being the good shepherd, he compares himself to the thief. And he says, well, what the thief does is they break in to steal and kill and destroy. And that's what the evil one wants to do. He wants to steal us away from God. He wants to destroy our relationship with God. He wants to take away that life that we've got in God. Jesus said he came to bring life. Life in all its fullness. Or as the NLT translates it, a rich and satisfying life. Satan wants to take that away. He doesn't want us to have that. Last thing then, how does God keep us safe? One for John here, I think. Maybe, amongst others. Can you recognise the film, John? Untouchables. The Untouchables. Anyone seen The Untouchables? Quite violent, I won't pretend it's not. Great film, though. It's about, Kevin Costner there in the, I was about to say in the hat, but they're all wearing hats. second from right. He plays Elliot Ness, who's a tax official. Is he Scottish? Well, he would be with a name like Elliot Ness. Well, Sean Connery would be the Scottish one. But anyway, they're trying to arrest Al Capone, the great gangster. And they can't get him for the gambling and the prostitution and the racketeer. And they can't get him for that. But what they can get him for is tax evasion, which is very unexciting, really. By comparison, but anyway, so they have this big adventure, and the whole point of them being called untouchables is that there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of corruption in the government and the police force, and these guys are untouchable because they can't be bought, and they can't be threatened, and they won't be blackmailed. They're untouchable. And for us then, we're safe in God. We are untouchable. Not because of our great strength, but because God loves his name. Hallelujah. He loves his name. He loves his glory. That matters to him. And he won't let it be dragged through the mud. We are safe in him. And so we have this assurance. Again, from chapter 10, Jesus talking about the shepherd. My Father has given them to me. We could say us. And he's given more powerful, and he's more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them or us from the Father's hand. When we belong to God, we are safe in God, and he's got this in his hands. It's like trying to get a toy off a toddler. It's impossible. Cannot snatch it from his hand. So that's the first thing about belonging to God. Here's the second thing. Belonging to God means being holy to God. Verse 17. Make them holy, Jesus prays, by your truth. Make them holy by your truth. To speak about truth in John's Gospel is to speak about Jesus' statement, his teaching, all of his teachings about who he is. He is truth. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am truth. Therefore, when he speaks and speaks about himself, he can only speak truth. Because firstly, he can't lie about himself. And in any event, what else is he going to say? He's talking about himself and he's talking about being truth. And so the call on us, if you like, is to hear that word that Jesus speaks, to hear that truth. And as we do so, Jesus is praying, make them holy by your truth. Now, quite often when we talk about holiness, we're talking about that character of kind of moral purity, if you like. But at root, that's not what holiness is really about. Holiness is about otherness. God is holy. Why? Because he's morally pure? Yes, he is. But actually, because there is nothing like him in all creation. He is not created. He's uncreated. He's so incredibly glorious that nothing else is like him. And so here, as often in the Bible actually, the word holy is less about a moral quality and more about the fact that we are made other. We are made to belong to God. We are dedicated to God. We are consecrated. That's a very religious word. Consecrated to God. So there were instruments, there were things in the temple, for example, in the Old Testament that they used to use for worship, which were holy. They were holy objects. Objects can't have a moral character because it's just a thing. But they were holy. And in the same way then, being holy to God in this instance here, Jesus is thinking about that dedication to God. That belonging to God means that God owns us, yes, but that our lives then are dedicated to God. We're consecrated to God. Jesus has this statement which I think is really extraordinary. In verse 16, they don't belong to this world any more than I do. They don't belong to this world any more than I do. Now, on one level, we might just go, oh yeah, because, you know, I'm a Christian now or something. But there's something very fundamental there. Jesus is saying, I came from the Father, that's why I don't belong to the world. He's always said that. We know he was born as a human being. We know that. But his point has always been, I'm the one who's come from above. Now he's pointing at Christians and saying, well, they don't belong here either. Just as much as I don't belong here. Being holy to God is part and parcel of what it means then to become children of God. John starts off his gospel talking about us, to all who believed him, that's Jesus, and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So talking about us becoming children of God, being born of God. And again, Jesus speaks, and I think Roy covered this a few weeks ago, talks about being born again in John chapter 3. But that little word again, we used to translating it as again, but it can also mean from above. So as children of God, we have fundamentally changed. We're like that. We're like brand new, born into the world. When we become a Christian, we're not what we were. We've changed. We don't actually belong here anymore. We don't fit in. The world is as alien to us now as it was to Jesus when he entered the world. So we're holy to God because we're children of God. I don't know if you saw this week, this was in the news. The first red passport in this instance, published without the words European Union on it. Somebody had received this through the post, so that's their social media photo that they put on the web, but it made it to the news. A passport represents really where you call home. Is that fair? My sister-in-law is Venezuelan by birth, but having now lived in Norway for 10 years, she has succeeded in applying for a Norwegian citizenship, and her Norwegian passport will be arriving shortly. Her family, well, you might have seen on the news as well, the situation in Venezuela. Her family are now moved to Argentina because the situation in Venezuela is so difficult. Venezuela's really not her home anymore. She's got a memory of growing up there, but her life, her family, her husband, her kids, her job, it's all in Norway. And in the same way then, it's like we're carrying around a passport that says where we actually belong. We actually belong with Jesus, where he is in heaven. That's where we belong. That's where our future lies. But Jesus has this extraordinary statement, I'm sending them into the world, just as you sent me into the world, verse 18. There's quite a few references to Jesus saying that he's been sent in John's Gospel, far more than I could possibly go through. But just to pick a few out. Jesus says that he was sent to gather, to do God's works, to speak about himself, to speak about the Father and the truth. Jesus says in chapter 4, I think it is, to the apostles, that he is sending them to gather the harvest. Other people have sown, now it's their time to gather the harvest. Jesus is sending us into the world. We don't belong here, but he sends us here. I thought of putting up a picture of somebody leaving home, you know, which is so weird. Imagine the moment that you're born into the world, you leave home. But that's essentially what happens. Because straight away, we're sent into the world. Being holy to God means being sent into the world. To do all those things. Gather the harvest, do God's work, speak about Jesus. Of course, the thing that makes us holy is the cross. That's where Jesus ends up in verse 19. I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them. If you've got a different Bible translation, it will say something like, I sanctify myself on their behalf. So Jesus understands his own mission, his own death, as an example of what it means to be consecrated to God. But he's saying that his own mission then makes it possible for us to be made holy, for us to belong to God, us to be made holy. I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. It is as we hear about the cross, it is through the testimony of the cross that we believe and we accept that we are made holy, that we come to belong to God, that God makes us his children and sends us into the world. Again, Jesus says about himself, would you call it blasphemy? Or why do you call it blasphemy when I say I'm the Son of God? After all, the Father set me apart and sent me into the world. He understands himself as somebody set apart. He understands himself as Son of God. And so through what Jesus has done, we now follow in his footsteps. We too are set apart and sent into the world. And whilst we might never bear the title, the Son of God, we are the children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And we've got the exclusive opportunity to say that. Every Christian is able to say, I am a child of God. That's our right. So we talked about belonging to God today, and as I said earlier on, I think God loves his glory, and he wants us, through our belonging to him, to bring him glory. Jesus says pretty much as much in verse 10. He says, all who are mine belong to you, and you've given them to me, so they bring me glory. By belonging to God, we bring Jesus glory. But how do you know if you belong to God? Yes, belonging to God means being safe in him. Yes, it means being holy to him. But how do you know if you belong to God? I think a really great indicator, Jesus mentions in verse 13. He says, I've told them many things while I was with them in the world, so they would be filled with my joy. Jesus is telling us all these things. He's telling us everything in John's Gospel so that we can be filled with joy in the knowledge that we are God's children, in the knowledge that he loves us, in the knowledge that we belong to him, in the knowledge that we're safe in him, and in the knowledge that we're holy to him. Jesus is joy. Get the right reference. Oh, that's right, yeah. Chapter 15 of John, verse 9, and so on. Jesus' joy is in the Father's love. He loves the Father, he knows the Father loves him, his joy is in that love, and he wants to remain in that love. His joy is both the fact that the Father loves him, and to be somebody who's able to continue to enjoy that love. Our joy, then, filled with my joy. Jesus wants us to share in that joy. He wants us to know the Father's love for ourselves. He wants us to remain in his love. This is where we find our joy, in belonging to God. Jesus says that I've given them your words. Here it is. And we always have two choices. Believe it, reject it. Excuse me. The question then for us is our joy in Jesus' words? Do we take his words and take them to heart? Do we take our confidence from that? Our joy from that? If our joy is still in the world, it's not in Jesus. It's not in the cross. But by accepting Jesus' words, by receiving that joy, we have that knowledge that we belong. We belong to God, we belong to one another here as his people. So if you've got that joy, secondly, joy is worth praying for. Jesus seems to think so. Joy is valuable. Joy is the thing then that marks us out as belonging to God. Joy is that thing which the world can't take from us through circumstances. Joy is that thing that belongs to us in God permanently. Joy is the thing that should characterize us. Joy is the thing that should be visible. I love having Jan in front of me when I'm worshipping, because she's always there like this. You know? It's fantastic. I'm too straight-laced for that. That's my problem. But it should be visible, shouldn't it? And so it's worth praying for one another that we would exhibit that joy. Because if that's the truth that we know, and Jesus wants us to be filled with that joy, then we can certainly pray for it, can't we? Brilliant. Shall we pray together?